Chronobiology is the study of natural, physiological rhythms of organisms, including people, such as a life form's adaptation to solar and lunar-related cycles. It examines the effects of time on internal biological clocks. It also examines the structures in time, called chronomes, that exist in living organisms, populations, and the environment. It can help explain why birds migrate, why trees drop their leaves in the fall, and even why some medications should only be taken at night. Biological rhythms are recurring events that happen in a regular sequence and continue even without external influences. One example of a type of natural cycle that is studied by chronobiologists is the circadian rhythm that governs our sleep schedule. Most people are awake during the daytime hours and asleep during the nighttime hours. A circadian rhythm is the body's natural cycle of physical, mental, and behavioral changes that occur over a 24-hour period. It's also known as the body's internal clock and are primarily influenced by light and darkness. Circadian rhythms prepare the body for expected changes in the environment, such as when to sleep, eat, and be active. The sun's light-dark cycle is the strongest external cue that influences circadian rhythms. But what happens when this cycle is interrupted? In July 1962, geologist Michel Siff took off his watch and descended into the abyss in the French Alps. There, in a cave 425 feet below the surface, he set up camp next to a glacier. With a torch as his only light source, and deprived of all reminders of the passage of time, he lived underground, alone, for 63 days. What had started as an expedition to study glaciers had become famous as something completely different. The first study of the human response to living with no information about time. Siff was the first to show that our body might have its own clock, which piqued the interest of NASA. Inspired by the space race, he explored how humans experience time without time cues, first for 2 months in 1962. Then in 1972, Siff went back underground for a 6-month stay in a cave in Texas. He found that without time cues, people settled into a 25-hour pattern rather than 24 hours, which is a day on Earth. Incidentally, the day on Mars is roughly 25 hours long. That said, during his longer experiment, several people, including himself, adjusted to a 48-hour cycle. The studies gave many new insights into alternative theories regarding what humanity's adaptive native habitat might have been in antiquity during human evolution, providing an alternative to the Darwinian paradigm that man came down from the trees and instead may have emerged onto the surface from habitable caverns below, as described in ancient mythologies from around the world, especially plausible since the alleged last common ancestor or missing link between man and arboreal primates is still very much missing. Siff died from pneumonia last month in France on August 25th, 2024, at the age of 85, but his groundbreaking scientific research into human consciousness, time, and adaptation has transcended his field of geology and helped reignite suppressed theories in my own field of anthropology. While chronobiology is the new science of biological rhythms occurring in living organisms, the influence that cycles of time have on humanity has been studied for many millennia, and the concept of people living in subterranean worlds predate recorded history as well. In the field of astrology, it is said that information about human affairs and terrestrial events may be discerned by studying the apparent positions of celestial objects marking ages or time periods, such as months of the year, but also longer ages, such as the 25,920-year precession of the equinox, also known as Plato's Great Year, which is divided into 12 ages of roughly 2,200 years each. In Hinduism, the ages of the world are called yugas, and there are four of them. Each yuga is shorter than the previous one, and the decline in moral and physical state of humanity corresponds to this. Kali Yuga is the current age we're in, and believed to be the worst, and also has to do with periods of time when parts of humanity took refuge below the surface of the earth, and according to some ancient mythologies, originated there. With the relatively recent sequencing of the human genome, as well as the sequencing of the genome of other archaic hominin species, such as Neanderthal, which live on in our DNA, it is becoming clear that the out of Africa replacement model is false, and humanity's history is more complex than the linear evolutionary model presented by academia. Not only is the current paradigm riddled with frauds and errors, such as the infamous Piltdown Man that consisted of a baboon's jaw, deceptively bleached and glued onto a human skull and displayed in the British Museum for half a century, or the Nebraska Man, which was a single tooth, also touted as an alleged missing link, only to end up belonging to a pig. There are numerous other flaws in the hypothesis that link the human race to African apes. For starters, all primates have 48 chromosomes, and we have 46. While this in itself does not discount the possibility of an ancient common ancestor, there's no scientific consensus on exactly what this common ancestor may have looked like, let alone any fossil evidence. Unlike all other primates, humans also do not have fur. We also have a layer of subcutaneous fat not present in other primates. There are unexplained anomalies in certain blood types, such as Rh negative, which is not present in any of the more than 500 other primate species. Our skin is also not very well adapted to the surface conditions, making it necessary to insulate ourselves with clothes, which Cro-Magnon had over 30,000 years ago. Not to mention certain skin tones which lack the melanin necessary to provide protection from ultraviolet solar radiation. Incidentally, Cro-Magnon is a French term which means big cave, where Cro means hole, hollow, or cave, and Magnon implies large man. The name comes from the rock shelter in southwestern France, where the first Cro-Magnon remains were discovered in 1868. The oldest or first known modern humans ever found. And keep in mind, the term modern is different from just anatomically correct, as nothing before Cro-Magnon is considered fully modern in an anthropological context. With a brain capacity about 20% larger than the current average, these cavemen suddenly emerged in the fossil record with many unique features, such as the only hominin with a prominent chin, no prognathism, no protruding brow ridge, and a forehead with a round skull shape. The Buddhists, in their theology, fervently believe that there are civilizations of people living inside the earth. They call this inner earth habitat Agartha, and believe it to be home to a race of supermen and women who occasionally come to the surface to oversee the development of the surface race. They also believe that this subterranean world has millions of inhabitants and many cities, and their capital is Shambhala. The master of this world was believed to have given orders to the Dalai Lama of Tibet, who was his terrestrial representative. His messages were allegedly transmitted through certain secret tunnels connecting this inner world with Tibet, which the Nazis took interest in during their expeditions to the region in search of humanity's true origins. The entrance of this tunnel was guarded by lamas who were sworn to secrecy, with a similar tunnel believed to connect the secret chambers at the base of the Great Pyramid at Giza. While this is admittedly highly speculative, the Nazis took these myths and legends very seriously and conducted numerous expeditions around the world in search of these alleged ancestral homelands, which included investigations at the polar regions. Some of the more modern ideas that inspired the Nazis regarding Agartha came from Germanic secret societies, such as the Thule Society, founded in Munich shortly after World War I, named after a mythical northern country in Greek legend. The society is notable chiefly as the organization that sponsored the German Workers' Party, which was later reorganized by Adolf Hitler into the National Socialist German Workers' Party. Prior to their involvement in politics, their mission was as a study group of German antiquity, which included occult themes pertaining to esoteric history, metaphysics, and alternative technology. A primary focus was concerning the origins of the Aryan race, which included research into Ultima Thule as a lost ancient landmass in the extreme north, said by some mystics to be the capital of Hyperborea. They also explored theories pertaining to Atlantis, another fabled landmass allegedly submerged below rising sea levels in the Atlantic, as well as numerous Scandinavian and Germanic myths regarding Asgard, which in Norse mythology is the dwelling place of the gods, and according to Icelandic sagas written mostly in the 13th and 14th centuries, is a kingdom located on the inner surface of the earth. A French occultist whose work influenced the Thule Society was Joseph Alexander St. Ives, who, in 1885, claimed to have been visited by a group of Eastern initiates with alleged ties to a group of ascended masters based in subterranean caverns of Agartha. He wrote about this secret location in his Mission of India in Europe, Mission of Europe in Asia, published in 1886, which introduced the concept of inner earth Aryans to the Western world. Worried he had revealed too much, he destroyed all but two copies of this book, one of which was republished by another French occultist named Pappus in 1910. In the book, he claimed that an ancient, unified Aryan world government was transferred to Agartha within the inner crust of the earth at the start of the Kali Yuga age, a little over 5,000 years ago, around 3,200 BC. In Hindu cosmology, the Kali Yuga is considered a dark age, a period where humanity moved away from spirituality and enlightenment and immersed itself in materialism and selfish ignorance. The ancient Aryan inhabitants of Agartha postulated their return to the surface world when the people once again attained spiritual balance. The book alleges that the Agarthians had vehicles that could float in the air, which resembled what the Vedic texts described as vimanas, or flying chariots, inspiring the Germanic secret societies to rediscover this lost propulsion technology. That said, I will now read a brief excerpt from the preface of the book, Mission of India in Europe, Mission of Europe in Asia. Quote, "The majority of European readers will greet this declaration with a skeptical half-smile, but this will certainly not be the reaction of millions of Asiatic initiates who will read, translate, or comment on this book. They will anxiously wonder what effect the exactitude of this book's revelations will produce in the upper spheres of the religious denominations, the universities, Freemasonry, and certain European courts, two in particular. They will finally endeavor to find how I managed to pull back the veil that covers the most secret of their mysteries, something that all the combined efforts of missionaries and diplomats have been unable to achieve. In fact, this veil is formed by immense mountains, fortresses, jungles, cities, temples, crypts, and underground cities of formidable size. And the secret this veil covers is guarded by millions of men of science and conscience, linked together in the heart of the Godhead by the same oaths sworn in the times of Moses, Jethro, Orpheus, Zoroaster, and Fuxi. So, despite the skepticism this book might encounter in Europe, it is impossible to describe the idiopsychic commotion that it will create, visibly or not, throughout the whole of Asia. From the peak of Rome to Peking, from the Indian Ocean to the Himalayas, from Afghanistan to the plateaus of Upper Tartary, from Bukharia to Tbilisi, my frail breath growing with the distance will transform into a spiritual tempest, and the eddies of souls will again surge back from Jerusalem to Cairo and to Mecca, from the Geonim to the Imams, and from the chief of the Druzes in Lebanon to the chief Ganzibra of the Suba of Baghdad, who are descendants of the former Essene disciples of St. John the Baptist. To this vast ocean of souls, I will make my pious response. God wishes it to be so, for the time is at hand. Traces of this mythology can also be found in the Zohar, the foundation of Kabbalah and Jewish mysticism, which emphasizes that the Garden of Eden should be sought underground, not on the surface of the earth. While the esoteric context implies that this is a spiritual paradise accessible through Kabbalistic practices, its literal description is of a hidden realm below the surface. We also find this theme on the other side of the Atlantic. The Navajo tribe of North America believe that their ancestors came from a land beneath the Navajo Mountains. According to the Aztec, after the Great Flood, the seven surviving tribes emerged from caves beneath the sacred city of Azatlan to rebuild humanity. Similar mythologies can be found amongst the Cherokee and Hopi, who claim to have emerged from deep subterranean tunnel systems below the Grand Canyon. The Zuni and Apache tribes also tell of stories of people that lived inside the earth and not only emerged from there, but a mysterious community still lives underground. In Mayan mythology, an underworld called Xibalba is mentioned in the Popol Vuh, their sacred text, which claims that Xibalba contains magnificent structures, divine beings, and its entrance is located in Guatemala. That said, it was the nationalist Germans that rejected the bogus out-of-Africa model and instead poured money and resources into not only researching the inner earth on an industrial scale, but they also built numerous underground facilities and bases, most notably in Antarctica, where allegedly there is an entrance to the inner earth. While the war officially ended in 1945, the Allied forces sent an armada of warships, 4,700 armed troops, and an aircraft carrier under the command of Admiral Byrd to seek out and destroy a German breakaway colony that not only sought refuge below the South Polar ice, but allegedly harbored advanced propulsion technology, which they used to defeat Admiral Byrd in what is known as Operation High Jump. To find out what happened after his retreat, and up until present time, I cover it in a video which I will leave linked in the description below. My name is Robert Sepper. I'm an anthropologist. My published work is available on Amazon and through all other major book outlets. If you'd like to support my work, you can do that through Patreon or various links available in the description section. Please subscribe and leave me your thoughts below as I read all the comments. Stay safe, and I hope to see you again soon.